I'm going to start the day off with a gold nugget. I found it in Ephesians chapter 5. I begin reading with verse 25. The writer says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." That's God's will for our life. He wants us to be a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle. The word wrinkle I found only twice in the Bible, and one of those times is right here in verse 27 of Ephesians 5. God doesn't want us wrinkled up, nor does he want us puffed up. God wants us holy and without blemish or any such thing. God is coming back after such people as this. God wants you to be holy. I know you will never be holy in the eyes of men, but we're not here to please men. If God sees us as holy, then we are holy. If God sees us without spot or wrinkle, without blemish, then that's what we are. We are what God says we are. We are what God sees that we are. So, don't worry about the opinions of others. Just concern yourself about the opinion that God has for you. We're going into the lesson today. It's a good one. I've enjoyed teaching these lessons. So, scoot up your chair and lean in. We've been talking about King Solomon for a few days, but let's not forget that Solomon was the son of King David. David was a man that exhibited the wisdom of God. You recall when King Saul made David head of his army, and when David became so successful in battle strategies, and he was killing many more of the enemies than Saul was. Saul got jealous, busted him back in rank, busted him back from a general to a captain over just a few, took him from being the head of the army and put him in charge of just a few men. So what did David do in those circumstances? Did he get his feelings hurt and run off and pout and badmouth the king? No siree, Bob. When this took place, the Bible says that David behaved himself more wisely. David behaved more wisely. When David was under the jealous eye of Saul, he behaved himself more wisely. David was filled with wisdom. He exhibited this in his victory-winning battle strategies. David also had a talk with his son. Solomon gives just a gist of the conversation. Listen to Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 3. Solomon says this, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all of your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor. When you do embrace her, she shall give to your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver unto you. These were the words spoken to Solomon by his father David. But did Solomon always keep the sayings of David? I think not. The Bible says when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. He was not perfect with the Lord his God. The Bible goes on to tell us that Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. The Lord said unto Solomon, "For as much as this is done of you, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant." Listen to verse 12 in chapter 11 of 1 Kings. God says, "Notwithstanding in your days, I will not do it for David your father's sake, but I will tear it out of the hand of your sons." Solomon knew he would need wisdom. David admonished Solomon to go after wisdom. Get wisdom, get understanding, forsake it not. Wisdom is the principal thing, and with it, get understanding. It will bring honor. It will be an ointment of grace, a crown of glory shall she give to you. Solomon understood the value of wisdom. His father taught him well. Because of this teaching of his father David, I believe that's the reason when God said, "What do you want, Solomon? Whatever you ask, I'll do it." Solomon didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to pray about it. He just said, "Give me knowledge and understanding. Give me wisdom to rule these people of yours," he says. "I need to be able to distinguish between good and evil." People today need that same wisdom. To be able to understand between good and evil. We've got people in the church today that cannot distinguish the white horse of victory from the pale horse of death. So little is there wisdom in the word. Well, let's talk about the teachings and writings and values that Solomon set forth. Many philosophers, psychologists, pastors, and counselors of our day would argue against Solomon's approach and against many of his proverbs. Others would argue with Solomon not only over the techniques he employs, but over the values that he espouses. To Solomon, wisdom is more valuable than riches. Integrity is far greater than craftiness. To punish a child is far better than to cuddle him when he has been disobedient. The work ethics is to be embraced by all righteous people. Nearly every one of Solomon's proverbs could be attacked by someone. His values are not universally accepted. And even where people may agree with his principles, they find them difficult to defend in the settings of today's sophisticated concepts. One such difficult issue is Solomon's position on the discipline of children. His opponents will attack it from every angle. Nevertheless, Solomon's stance is clear, and it merits our reflection. A father who spares the rod hates his son. In this era in which punishment is a bad word in counseling circles, Solomon's proverb stands out as a unique challenge. And so the debate goes on. Modern psychoanalysts has introduced an approach to studying man's problems that may disturb many of us. It's not comforting to have a psychologist probing our childhood backgrounds in order to come up with a reason for our actions. We are confused further when we hear of all of the complexes that people have and strange phenomena that are purported to provide the key to understanding ourselves. With so many miserable comforters around us today, it makes me feel good that I can return to Solomon with confidence. His clarity hides nothing from my view. He tells me which is the better of any two options. He advises me to take the better and often warns me of the consequences of the wrong choice. I'm going to end the lesson right here. I want you to tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'll be speaking of the many issues that people have taken with the way that God gave His word to Solomon and other prophets and writers in the Bible. Be with me tomorrow.